So I want to finish. I want to try to finish off this little Gemara here on Gimel Bet Aleph. Very action-packed, Gemara, and we've been discussing the concept of Kinyan Sudar and Kinyan Dvarim, the idea of Kinyan Dvarim Bialma, and I want to try to finish off with that. And then I want to talk about. One second, I seem to have lost everybody again. Just one second. Okay. So we'll talk about a little bit also about Shutfus and Chazaka as we finish this up. So just to remind everybody the Gemara. The Gemara here in Gimel Amud Aleph says that B'mayu kinu l'masisim b'she'eba din chaluka. The Mishnah is talking about a case where Shutfus, there are Shutfim who own a common property. And the decision was made to break up that partnership, but there isn't in each portion dalet amos, and therefore there needs to be an agreement between them in order for this partnership to end. So the Gemara says, "Isha be'eba din chaluka kibatzu mayhabe." Then how does the agreement help you? Nihadibu, they can always change their mind. They can always decide that that they want. That one of them can decide that he wants to retain the partnership. So if he refuses to contribute financially to the joint well, then he has his rights because he has the ability to retract his commitment. Says the Gemara, Rabbasar, Baruch HaBishukonu Miyado. We're talking about a case where there was a Kinyan Sudar. Then the Gemara says, V'chikonu Miyado Mayhada, so what? Either way, Kinyan Dvarim Yalmahu. The issue isn't necessarily the absence of a Maisa Kinyan. The problem is that there was no Chalos Kinyan, and there's nothing to make Kinyan on other than Dvarim, than words, it's simply the agreement itself. So the Gemara says, Bishakona Biyodan, Beruchos. Talking about a situation where there actually was specification on how the partnership would be distributed after the breakup. And according to Rashi, that means that there was a total kinyan. They really actually split up the partnership. And I think according to the Rambam and Rabbi Yoshim, it means that they didn't take that final step. But by virtue of the fact that they have negotiated the final disposition, what it would look like, that is already more than Dvarim. That's considered already to be a legal, partial agreement. And that requires and is impacted by Kinyan. Okay, so that's the Shakal Tari of the Gemara. Then we spent some time discussing what is a Kinyan Dvarim, what's the problem of Kinyan Dvarim, the different views on that. And then the last 1.5 years, we've been discussing why Kinyan Sudar is the Kinyan of choice, practically in all cases, when we're dealing with things that approximate Kinyan Dvarim. And what I've been trying to explain is that Kinyan Sudar is a ubiquitous and also a very unusual Kinyan, both at the same time. And that while some Rishonim see it as kind of an adjunct to Kesef, more like of an exchange or a barter, but, symbolically at least, where you're kind of trading things, that there's a group of Rishonim led by the Rambam who think that Kinyan Sudar is really primarily Kinyan Das, that it's based on the commitment itself to move forward in a legal way, just that it is concretized by and objectified, by the preamble of a Kinyan Sudar, whether it's Kelet Shalkona, the way we paskin like Rav, or Kelet Shalmakna, the perspective of Levi and Bar Metzia, etc. And last week we, furthered this idea to try to show a number of arguments between the Rambam and the Ravid, another number of sugyas which highlight the special dimension of Kinyan Sudar, etc. And that's where we are. So I want to speak another take. I think I said I would another couple of minutes just to round out a couple of more issues which really. According to some, Rishonim at least, really capture this distinction. I want to do that for a few minutes. And then I want to move on to the next line in the Gemara, And that is the line of Rav Ashi. I want to talk about Shitfus a little more and Kenyan Chazak. Not comprehensively, but a little bit. But before we do that, let's fill in just a couple of more points regarding Kenyan Sutra. Okay. So, again, we talked about the connection to Shtar, the possible need for an Akiyum,
The audio sounds a little poor, like there's a big, I just spoke to one of my friends, he also here, that like the audio is not clear, it sounds very muffled.
Muffled.
I don't know if that's a good descriptive word.
No, muffled is great. Yeah, I know what it means, I just don't know why it would be muffled. But one second, give me one second. Was it that way from the beginning, has it improved?
No, it hasn't improved.
So give me one second. Let me see if I can play with the settings here a little bit, because it was on the headphone. Sometimes when that happens, you know what? Let me try. Maybe I should try using the headphone. Maybe that would be better. One second. Tell me if this is any better. Okay. Does this sound better?
Leon, how's that, Leon?
This is better or worse?
I would love other people to tell. I think it's better. It's a little louder, but
that. One second. This is better or worse?
I feel like I'm in an eye exam.
Well, it's better than a tooth exam, right?
Well, I don't know. It's just the same, I think. But
hold on one second. Give me one more.
Noises.
Let me try. I'm going to switch it to something. You're going to tell me. Okay.
How's this?
Much better.
Seriously?
Yeah, that was it. That's the fix.
Okay, great.
Hey, Ari, it's nice to hear you finally gave input here. Good.
I want to feel you all on Zev.
Okay, so is it fixed now or we're normal?
Better, yeah.
Okay. So, So let's look at a couple of other things just very, very, very quickly. So first of all, the Gemara in the Darim, just for a minute, this came up last week also. You know, we can't talk about Kenyan Sudar without it. Do you keep the Sudar or not? Right? So the typically, when you experience a Kenyan Sudar, you know, what usually ends up happening is that the person, you know, the Kona, ends up, you know, getting his pen back, or the shliach of the Kona. Let's say it's the rabbi, you know, operating on behalf of the kala, let's say at a wedding for the ksuba, right? So the kala is the kona, the rabbi is, you know, her representative, and he's using his pen, his handkerchief, whatever the case may be. So I'm not sure why I can't find, hold on one second. So do you have the Gemara Nedarim in front of you? In the Mar Makomos? Memchas? Oh, I do also. Okay, good. This is on, it's probably on page 2. Everybody have that? Hu gavid ha-havilei bra da ha-vashamet kipid dikitna. So this fellow had a son who wasn't bringing him a lot of nachas. Okay, now what exactly he was doing is open to question. He wasn't learning properly. He was a thief. That's quite a range in its own right. But there are different interpretations as to what this is. Whatever it is, asrinu l'mechse alei. The father was sufficiently unhappy that he wanted to cut him out of getting any benefit from his property, including Yerusha. So the Gemara says, Amulei, so the people said to him, Let's say, you know, you're lucky enough that, you know, even if you don't have nachas from your son, that, you know, you'll have nachas from your grandson. So he's going to be cut out because of this action that you're taking financially. So the Gemara says, Omer lehun, liknei hadein, v'yihaba, barbari, tzurim, rabbanon, lekanya. Right, let's make what we call a kni al manas, kind of a kni al manas lahak. Well, we'll see in a moment. But give, you know, there's be makna to, you know, him, you know, for the son. Says the Gemara, Mai, Omar Pumbadisai, kni al manas lahaknosu. B'chol kni al manas lahaknos lo kani. So the Gemara says that's a kind of a kni al manas lahaknos, and that doesn't work. Rab Nachman Omar, kani. Because in general, a sudar is a kni al manas lahaknos. So again, remember what happened here. This fellow, Reuven the father, wants to cut out Shimon, but he's been convinced that he shouldn't cut out Levi in the process. So he wants me makne to Shimon, you know, only with respect to Levi, the grandson's, you know, if he's a tamla, if he's a Ruvi, you know, recipient, his ability to be kona. So Shimon is not being kona. Shimon is just serving to, you know, as a point of transport, if you will, or transfer really, from the real bailim to the real kona. And that's a kind of kni amanas lahaknos. Okay? So the Gemara says a very remarkable thing. The Gemara says, Das sudra kni amanas lahaknosu. The Gemara says, what do you mean kni al manas lahaknos doesn't work? A sudar works, and a sudar is a kni al manas lahaknos. Right? Now, is that really true? Anyways, either way, the Gemara says, I'll get back to it in a second, Om Rav Ashi, uman leimel on the sudar itafas le mitfas. Number one, right, maybe it factually isn't true, even close to being true, because who told you that if the makne, meaning the kona of the sudar, if he insists on keeping the handkerchief for the pen, who said that he can't? Right? In which case, it's not kni al manas lahaknos factually, even close to it, because a kni al manas lahaknos, the middle guy isn't kona at all. His kinyan is only lagabe, right, to be makne. But here, it's very possible that the recipient of the sudar, right, can keep the sudar. At least that's possible. The ode, sudra kni amanas lahaknos ukni minhashta halunichsin dahadin la'imasaikoni. At least in the case of sudar, right, all this can happen immediately, right? But in the case of this grandson who has yet to prove himself to be a tzurba merabanan, or maybe isn't even born yet, I'm not sure. Halon nixon dahadin leina saikoni. Lechihava barbarei tzurba merabanan. But lechihava hadar sudra lamare. By that time, you know, there's no guarantee that the sudar is around at all. Meaning, it's a kind of a you know, kosa, what we call kosa kinyano kind of a problem. Okay, so I think that there are three, let's say, very interesting issues in this Gemara. Number one is, there's a debate in the Gemara whether or not, in the case of a Kenyan Sudar, the owner of the Sudar can insist on getting it back or not. Obviously, in the typical Kenyan, that has to do with an exchange or is patterned after Kesef. He doesn't get his money back. Right? So the view that, you know, he does get his money back, obviously, is inconsistent with seeing this as a kind of even symbolic exchange. But if it's about kind of a framework for kinyanim, which allows the makne you know, and the Kona, you know, is Kinyan Devarim, you know, to become kind of legalized, then that's a different story. Then in that circumstance, right, it might very well make sense, you know, that it's only a framework, but it was never meant to actually transfer the object. It's only a way of concretizing the das. So that's an interesting argument. Now, how do we paskin on that question? That seems to be a debate among the Rishonim. I think I mentioned last week that the Gemara in Kiddushin, but we'll look at it again just for a minute. The Gemara in Kiddushin of Avon Mideis talks of Atana Amana Sahaksir. And the Gemara says, Matana here, let's look at it for a minute. Aba Rabba, Helech Mana Amana Shitaksi Reoli, Bevecha Lokana, the Isha Inu Mekudeshes, Bepijin Abene in Bino Padui, the Trivayotze Ide Nisina, the Asr Lassus Chain, the Pnei Shinir Gekari Namasayea, the Beis Agronis. So the Gemara says, there seems to be mixed evidence whether or not Matana Manasa Haksa works or not. So the Gemara says, Maika Sava Rabba. How could there be mixed evidence? Ika Sava Matana Manasa Haksa Shma Matana Afilu Kul Nami. Right? If it works, if a Matana given on condition, right, that it be returned works, then Afilu Kul Nami. Then that should apply to all things. Right? Ika Savar Loshma Matana, if it doesn't work, Afilu Trumanami Lo. That's if it should work for Kiddushin, or should it work for Truma? But why should you distinguish them? So the Gemara says, Va'od, Arava Huda Amar Matana Manas Lahaksishma Matana, Gamarava Helechetzer Exam, Manas Shetaksi Reili, Matlevechzi Riyata, Mad Layata. Rava happens to be well known for holding that Matana Manas Lahaksishma Matana. That's the Dalad Minim case, which we're all very familiar with. So the Gemara says the following remarkable conclusion. Elam Ravashi, Bekula Kani Levar Mi'isha, Lefishay Nisha Niknes Bechalipin. Because a woman cannot be Niknes Bechalipin, something we discussed last week, therefore she can't be Niknes V'matana Amanas Lahaksir either. Very surprising. Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? So that's what Tosa says. Tosa says, Labar mi'isha, v'fisheyush l'ikim b'chalipin, bin tomar, b'may domu l'chalipin. What's the connection to chalipin? Im yishim d'chalipin hadri, so Tosa thinks, we think we know what it is. It's the Gemara in the Darim. The Gemara in the Darim says that when it comes to kinyan sudar, that the sudar was returned to the owner. So that makes it the equivalent of Matano Manas Lahaksir, right? Maybe from the Khalipin Hadri, Hab Khalipin Gufayom or Benadarim, the Parakashutfin, the Tafasle Mitvasi. Tosa says, but who says we paskin that way? If the guy insists on keeping it, he could keep it. So that's not Matano Manas Lahaksir. But if you look at the Ran in Adarim, he seems to conclude the Itafas Lo Mitvasi. So there's a maklokas or rishonim, the halacha, right, in the Gemara. Either way, Tosas in Kiddushin ends up concluding, v'nur l'ri, d'alav chalipin hu, midrabanan hu, d'alav kiddushin, shenderecha olam l'haksir chalipin, v'hani ke'en chalipin damu, v'asal amem arishon niknes b'chalipin, v'chafkin arban l'kiddushin. Very mechudash Tosas, where Tosas says the connection is only visual, and, you know, people's mistaken impression, but that was enough to create enough Kinu Rabbanu LeKiddushin Minei that's not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara. It's mentioned in the Gemara, according to Tosis, implicitly. Here, right here, because of all of this cheshbon. Okay. But the bigger point I wanted to make is that there are two deals in the Gemara Nedarim, and there's a Machlokas or Rishonim, even the Halacha, whether or not the Sudar goes back or not. Of course, even if it, you know, doesn't, even if it does go back, is that midin matana amanas lahaksir, which is what Tosis was kind of saying. It's very interesting that the Gemara doesn't call it matana amanas lahaksir. The Gemara calls it kni amanas lahaknos. What's the difference between kni amanas lahaknos and matana amanas lahaksir? I mean, you might have thought that there isn't. Maybe that's what Kinyan Manas Lahaknos is also. However, the Pashtus, you know, I would have thought that they're fundamentally different.
when is transferring it to a third party? Kani Amanasahagras is the transfer to another individual.
Right, so you're agreeing. You're saying it's very different.
I'm saying that it is different. The return Amanasahagras is to return to the nosing.
Correct.
Kani Amanasahagras is...
Well, I guess in both cases, what they have in common is that in both cases, the recipient is not really... The initial recipient doesn't keep it long term. In one case, he transfers it, but you're totally right. I agree with you. In one case, he transfers it to a third party. That's Kani Amanas Lachnos. And in the case of Matan Amanas Lachzir, right, he returns it to the original. So that's a distinction. I think part of that distinction is a bigger distinction. And that is Matan Amanas Lachzir, and this is part of the issue there, the recipient, before he returns it, acquires it temporarily. Just that his temporary acquisition, right, is contingent upon eventually returning it. Correct? But the Kani Amanas Lachnos fellow, in addition to the fact that it doesn't go back to the original guy, it goes to a third party. But in addition to that, what is it? Is it he owns it and then the condition is that he give it to the next guy? Or is the pshat that he doesn't own it at all? The chiddush is that there is such a phenomenon of Kani Amanas Lachnos, namely that I can be an owner only with regard to the Koach HaHakna, without being an actual owner. In which case, Matan Amanas Lachzir is more like a tnai, and even if it's a limitation, which is a debate in the quality of the ownership, right? But it is some sort of ownership. And maybe it's even full ownership, Lizman Katsuf. Right? And at the end of the day, it'd be very hard to explain that there's no, that Alpidin, Lahalacha, there's no such thing. Which is what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, Mimanashach, but what we're really saying is like, why can't, of course, Matan Amanas Lachzir should work? Why wouldn't it? It's a tnai. And even if it's more than a tnai, it's the cause of it. That more is a result of the tnai. But Kani Amanas Lachnos, which you might say, is that maybe the whole halachic phenomenon just doesn't exist. Why? Maybe if I don't own something, then I can't transfer to a third party. I mean, the legal construction is difficult. Everybody with me? But having said that, so is Kinyan Suda really Kani Amanas Lachnos at all? It's actually much closer to the issue of Matan Amanas Lachzir than it is to Kani Amanas Lachnos. Because like you said, Kani Amanas Lachnos is to give it to a third party. We're not talking about the Suda issue isn't about giving it to a third party. But now we'll take it the way I'm saying it, right? The issue in what we thought in Sudar is whether or not it's a Matan Amanas Lachzir or not. I mean, does he own it, just temporarily, or does he own it if he insists on keeping it? He gets to keep it. Well, who's the Amanas? Where's the Kani Amanas Lachno? Where does that come from? Who's the third party? Everybody with me? It's just a very strange Gemara. Very, very strange. But I think, because now I'm speculating, the more we think, if we think that, that Sudar is a kind of an exchange in some fashion, even, a symbolic one, of course, not value to value, but it's some sort of symbolic exchange. So then the idea, that this is comparable to Kani Amanas Lachnos, never mind Matan Amanas Lachzir, is strange. In other words, Tosas's understanding is closer to, and the Gemara in Kiddushin's is closer than the Gemara in Adara. But if we say what we've been saying about the nature of Kinyan Sudar, then I think it actually does have a lot. It's still not a perfect comparison, but it actually has a lot in common. Because what we're really saying is there's no exchange here. What is the point of the Kinyan Sudar? Bein l'rab, bein l'levi. It's to establish kind of a framework. Kinyan A is establishing a framework for Kinyan B. Kinyan A is not in its own right at all. It's just a mechanism to accomplish something else. It's not exactly the same, but isn't that kind of what Kinyamana Sahaknos is? And the question is there such a thing? Meaning, can you be an owner only with respect to transfer, but not with respect to any other expression of ownership? That's what the issue of Kinyamana Sahaknos is. Similarly, in Kinyan Sudar, can you acquire or give away the object when that isn't the goal, even symbolically so much as it is to trigger, you know, a boomerang, you know, or to trigger a drip by providing like a kinyani as opposed to a dvarim, you know, kind of character? So now I still don't think it's perfect, but I do think this is a very strong overlap legally, conceptually, to these two issues. So I think this is just a remarkable Gemara. Okay. There's a third issue here in this Gemara.
Would this be contingent on Rav and Levi? They take a different opinion because the client.
So I was trying to say, I mean, I think a little bit because this only really works. This whole discussion even only really works according to Rav. But that's not so terrible because we paskin like Rav. Meaning, I think technically it only works according to Rav. I think conceptually what I was saying before kind of works even for Levi. Right? Where you're kind of makne kedei lahaknos as opposed to being kone lahaknos. But either way, I think this is a very, you know, most people just read this Gemara and they're aware of it. I don't think they are so troubled by it. But I think there's a lot to be troubled by. And I think the implications of it are very profound for the issues that we're discussing. Anyways, there's a third point here. And that is the Gemara talks about some sort of cult of Kinyano. So it's just interesting to note that the Ran al-Atar, you know, applies it to the issue of Kinyan Sudor itself. Namely, what is Kalsa Kinyano? I should explain. Kalsa Kinyano means the following. I can have a delayed Kinyan. I can make a delayed Kinyan in Halacha. Meaning I can say, you know, I'm going to, you know, be Mekadei Shanisha and the Kiddushin should only be Chal Achar Lamed Yom. All right, I'm going to be Moshech, this animal, and be Kona it, but I want the Kinyan only to be Chal after 30 days. Okay? So that's called a delayed Kinyan. That's a Dvar. Dvar means when I say, in 30 days I'll make a Kinyan. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is you make the Kinyan now, but you only want it to kick in after 30 days. Right? Okay. So the question is as follows. If, let's say, I write a shtar, and I say, I'm selling you my field with this Kinyan shtar, and we sign it, but I want it only to be chal in 30 days. So the din of Kalsa Kinyano determines that the shtar has to still be alive and well. You can't destroy it, in other words, within the 30 days. When day 30 comes by and the Kinyan is going to finally, apply fully, the Davra Kona needs to be there. Or if you need Mashicha, if Mashicha only takes place in certain venues, then the animal needs to be in that venue on Yom Shloshim if the Kinyan is made by Mashicha. Otherwise, it's called Kolsa Kinyano, meaning the Kinyan ran out. The Kinyan has to be alive and well. Now, why is that? That's a really good question. Obviously, the idea of Kolsa Kinyano is about connecting the Maisa Kinyan and the Chalosa Kinyan. Now, which is the heavier lifter? You know, is really all the action in this Mana Chalos, just so you don't have to repeat the Maisa, the Maisa that you did on day one can still be, you know, applied. Or it's like, no, we did the Maisa Kinyan on day one. We're just waiting since day one for it to actually, we're just delayed the chalos. That's which is the you know, more substantial, you know, stage or phase, or is it really an even partnership? That's an interesting and an open question, and it's important for this. But either way, whatever you want to say about it, Kosa Kinyano says that if the Maisa Kinyan on day one, right, is no longer extant on day 30 when the chalos is going to kick in, that's a problem of Kosa Kinyan. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that when it comes to a Kinyan through Kesef, there's never a problem of Kosa Kinyan. Why? Because if for some reason the Kinyan is not going to be chal on Yom 30, you're chozer in between, somebody dies, right? And we're not talking about a kinyan l'mafrei here. We're not talking about me'achshav l'achar lamed. We're talking about just a kinyan l'achar lamed yom. So, if, you know, then there'll be, you'll have to repay the money. Meaning when it comes to money, the Gemara says, there's no such thing as kolsa kinyano because, you know, you always owe the money. So there's always a connection to the money. The money that you paid on Yom Rishon doesn't have to be in existence anymore. Right? Because if whatever happens to disrupt that Kenyan, you know, happens, you'll have to pay it back. But that's not true about a burnt up shtar. And that's not true about a Mashiacha, you know, where, you know, the venue, you know, requirement is not being fulfilled on Yom Shloshim. And therefore, there's a din which says if Kosa Kinyana, if the Kinyan was, you know, dried up or the Kinyan is no longer, is used up, it's not there anymore, then you can't have a delayed Kinyan. Okay, that's background. So the Ran in this Gemara Nedarim, because that's what the Gemara is kind of referring to, says, yeah, you see, Kinyan Sudar, also is a din of Kosa Kinyano. Namely, if you were to make a delayed Kinyan with a Sudar, then you better have you better still have the Sudar in your Rishos. If you give it back to the owner in the interim, then it's not going to work. The Meiri on Daf Memches in Nedarim, how he explains the Gemara is a different problem, but that's not our problem for the moment. But the Meiri's conclusion is that even though in general, when it comes to Kinyanim, there's a din of Kolsa Kinyano. And even in Kesef, where there's no Kolsa Kinyano, that's not because there's no Kolsa Kinyano, just that it's because there's no Kolsa Kinyano. Meaning, not because the principle doesn't apply, but because the Metzius never applies, because there's always a Chov. But all of the Kinyanim, the rule is Kolsa Kinyano. But the Meiri says, yeah, that's true, but not Kinyan Sudar. Okay. The answer is because, according to the Meiri, again, if it does apply, it doesn't trouble me. It does trouble me if it's an exception, maybe the only exception to the rule. But the answer is because there's no Maisa Kinyan Magufa Davar, and there's no sense that this is a kind of an exchange. This is just a way of concretizing your das hanischayev to begin with. And therefore, you do that, and you know, and you've done it. But you're not really exchanging in any real sense. Just like it isn't just for the same reason it's a kind of kneel, manas lahaknos, right? So too, you know, there's no din of kalsa kinyana. Everybody with me? Okay, good. So, having said that, let me move to two other issues. Hopefully, quickly. Yeah, two other quick issues, and then I want to talk about Rav Ashi. Okay. So, number one, I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention a very important and famous Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yishmaya in Tosfos. We don't paskin like, but the no one really understands it, but, as a curiosity, it also, you know, speaks to our point. So that is Tosas in Kiddushin, Daf, Chaf, Zion. I'm just looking for it. Just give me a minute. Chavamadeh, sorry. This would be on page 4 maybe or 5?
418.
Page 4, line 18. Say, so you're back.
Yes, with renewed vigor.
I see. The wedding was inspiring. Okay. And we even gave you a shout out, by the way, last week. No. I didn't know you weren't there at the time. But I talked about, you know, the yiras hakavod, that you know, you that the pachad and the terror that you've instilled in me. Okay. Tosas Kedushin Chabad Mebeis. So Tosas quotes Rabbeinu Yishmaya, who says, Mikan Medakte Karav Rabbeinu Yishmaya, De Ein Moel Kinen Sudar Ela Bifne Hakone. Shelakachlo Hikna Lo Bechalipin Al Yidei Acher. One second. So this is a very remarkable chiddush of Tosas. Rabbeinu Yishmaya basically says that Kinyan Sudar, if you're going to do Kinyan Sudar on behalf of someone else, like the rabbi, again, the rabbi is using a Kinyan Sudar on behalf of the Kala for the Ksuva. Correct? Does the Kala have to be present when this is happening? The whole point is that she's not. Otherwise, what do you need the rabbi for? I mean, you still need the rabbi, don't get me wrong, but just not for this point, right? But that's what Rabbeinu Yishmaya says. Ein bo kinyan sudar, ela b'fnei hakone. Only in the presence of the kone. Shelakach lo hikna lo b'chalipin al yidei acher, in this particular Gemara. So this is a huge chiddush. Now we know that Zachan Adam Shalom Bifana and Shlucho Shalom is Kimoso. There are ways to accomplish beneficial kinyanim, right, for recipients, for beneficiaries. You don't need, the whole point is, you don't need them present. If they were present, then it wouldn't be such a big deal, right? Let them just do the kinyan themselves. If the isha needs to be present in the room when the rabbi is conducting on her behalf, you know, the kinyan on the ksuva, so she could just do it herself. What does she need him for? So Tosa says, the Amy Rivon. Rivon thought this was astonishing, stunning, shocking. Shaharei, Maisim Bechoyom, Shakona Besuda, Shalobit Fiakona, Makaba Matana. Like this happens all the time, that people do Kinyan Sudars. They stand in, you know, for the benefit of the recipient. Vote Dasha Bakola Gamar Mash Mashimoil. Sometimes you have the Edom themselves, you know, doing the Kinyan on behalf, you know, of the Kona. Forget about the rabbi. Kida Amar, Vikanina, Mine. Vimana de Kosha, Lamakanyabe. That's a nusuk that we use. What do you mean konu, plural, miyado? Sounds like the edim were regilim liknos mina makne, right? Letzorach akone. The edim used to do it. They may know kinin ha'edim ala b'fanam. If he needs to be present, lama suhu ikar. Binichu. What's the point of it all? Right? The gam lama hogulu lasas besudar shaledim. They even used to use the sudar of the edim, not of the kinyan moel kluma the bifnei akona. Bazu yachal lasas kmo edim. What do you need the edim for? So again, this is not accepted, the halacha, but what I do want to say is, you know, in no other Kenyan would there even be such a view. Like, why would you need, as long as you have either Zachem Adam Shalom Befondov or Shluch HaShadim Kamoso, why do you need the, you know, the, why do you need the Kona to actually be physically present? But again, this is a different kind of a Kenyan. Right? It's the concretization. It's the, just like you need to objectify it, maybe you need to be looking at the Kona. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's a din in the Makna Zasa Mischayev, you know, that is triggered by the Kenyan Sudar. It's a very remarkable thing. Okay. And then finally, just one other that I wanted to mention, and that's the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph and Bava Basra, which I think we also put here, our Makamos. One second. Probably on the later side. Just give me a minute. Find it. Here we go. So this is on page, on mine it's on page 5. Is that right? 5?
Sorry, one line. It's page 5, line 25.
525. So this is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Itmar, Kinyan ad emosai chozer. So here's that famous, there's that word again, quote unquote, Kinyan. And the question is a very consequential question, ad emosai chozer. Right? What is the shiur in terms of chazara? Meaning, how long do you have in a Kenyan suitor to back out of the Kenyan. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said Kenyan suitor. How long do you have in the Kenyan to back out of the Kenyan, to recant? So the Gemara says, Rabba Marcos Manchi Yoshvin. This is a Gemara in Kufi Dalin. If you don't have it in the sheet, you can look up the Gemara, better. And Rabbi Yosef Marcos Manchi Asuka Boso Inyan. So either it's Kos Manchi Yoshvin or Kos Manchi Oskin. Asukim rather, but also Inyan. Okay? Oh. So, the question is this, you know, referring to any Kenyan or the Kenyan? That's the question. And if so, like, why would you distinguish? The issue is an objective question, right? At what point, if you make a Kenyan, do you still have any kind of window for retracting your agreement? That's the question. Any legal system has to contend with that. And within any legal system, the question could be, does it matter how you acquire the circumstances, the methodology of the Kenyan? Does that matter in terms of the Chazara? Interesting question. Right? But we don't know. The Gemara just has two deals, Kozman Shioshvin and Kozman Shasukim Ba'osuin. So if you look at the Rambam, so now I'll go back to not these Marmakamas, but the one before, I guess. I think. And look at the Rambam in Parakei, Hilchos Mechira Halacha Yud. That's where the Rambam codifies this halacha. So the Rambam says, a mocher, o hanosein, shekona miyado, yeshe kalacha mehen, lach serbo, kozman shasukin ba'oso inyan. The Rambam paskins that we have till zman of asukin oso ba'oso inyan in order to be chosen. Either the kona or the mocher, or the makna. Yafal pi shakinin bifte edim. Wow. Second. Even though the kinin takes place in the presence of edim, And if it's beyond asukim bo seinyan, then no one can be chozer. Even if there are no edim between them. Well, you keep talking about edim. A little strange. Why is it strange? Because the previous halacha, which we discussed last week, definitively declares that edim are not required in sudar. Right? Look at the previous halacha for a moment. Zeh kinyan ein tzarich lios bifnei edim. Elam haya beino vein chavero kana shalot tzuricha te'edim b'dinei mominus el lekofer. Aval lemochar nosin osochar mashal kiyotzbem ein tzarich edim. So the Rambam says that there are no edim aside from ishus. So in this halacha, when he wants to tell you, you know, you can't be chozer until point X, and after point X, I'm sorry, you can be chozer until point X, and you can't be chozer after point X. So for some reason he adds, you can be chozer until point X, even if there are edim. And you can't be chozer after point X, even if there are no edim. Again, there's nothing wrong with what he's saying in the sense that we understand the call she gave. But he did say previously that edim are unnecessary. So it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is they might be unnecessary, but it isn't ridiculous to think that they, you know, would have been necessary, or that they would have, and maybe actually on some conceptual level, do make a difference. Maybe not enough of a difference. Why am I making fuss about this? Because, again, last week we explained, number one, that the Ravid quotes authorities who disagree, who think that Kinyan Suda requires Edim. And number two, I was saying that even though the Rambam doesn't require Edim, you know, he's the one more than anyone else who thinks that there could have been a basis for it. Just like there could have been a basis for it, could have been a basis for Dvarim. So I think at the end of the day, what the Rambam is saying here is very meduyak. You know, it's not so much mechudash what he's saying, and there's nothing wrong with what he's saying, but by adding these other words, it's totally consistent with his take. Anyways, then he adds, "V'kashem shechozer mochak benosin kach chozer lokeach b'makabel kozman shasuken oso inyan." And then he adds, "Ma she'ein kein b'shar darkei akniya." When the Gemara says this din, and it says kinyan, it doesn't mean any kinyan. It means, again, the kinyan, kinyan sudar, just like in Parakei, halacha hey, the Rambam says stam, kinyan, and the Talmud means kinyan sudar. Rabbeinu Tam, of all people, not in Tosis, not in printed Tosis, but in Sefer Yashar, disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar says, but this Gemara, Kinyan Matai Hu Chozer, Emasai Hu Chozer, is true about all Kinyanim. And Rabbeinu Tam adds and says, after all, he says, like, why would there be a difference? Now, when he says, why would there be a difference, Rabbeinu Tam, right, that could be based on one of two things. Number one, likely also based on that, is that he thinks that Kinyan Sudra is not fundamentally different than other Kinyanim. And therefore, like, you know, whatever we're going to say by it, we're going to say by everything else. Or he could have said, well, at the end of the day, there are important differences, but those important differences are, you know, insignificant when it comes to the question of Chazara. That's a broader Kinyan problem. Either way. But it sounds from the language of Rabbeinu Tam that he doesn't just think that there's no difference. He thinks there's no difference because fundamentally he rejects the notion that Sudar is somehow, you know, unusual. The majority view of the Rishonim is like the Rambam in this case. But what's interesting is if you look at the Rishonim, you get different impressions, and the Achronim and Poskim in Siddur Kofei in Shulchan Aruch, parallel kind of some of the Rishonim, as to what, is this kind of a more technical difference with other Kinyanim? Or is it more fundamental? In my opinion, for the Rambam, it's totally fundamental. And the idea behind it is, what the Rambam's saying is, this is a Kinyan Das. And therefore, we might have even thought that even though you don't need Adim, right, the presence of Adim might be an issue here. Even though it's not, but it's important to tell you that it's not. But the Chazara from a Kinyan Das is different than the Chazara for a regular Kinyan. Now, which way is it different? You could have said either way, you know, but I think the logical way is that if it's a Kinyan based on pure commitment, then you're actually going to have a bigger window, you know, before it's solidified to make sure that you're... Now, if you do a Maisa Kinyan, you could say, well, you know, you did the Maisa Kinyan and you had Kavanah when you did it, and that's enough. That does the heavy lifting and that's done. But if it's the commitment and the capacity to recant from the commitment are very, very interdependent. And as such, there's going to be a greater window to establish a more expansive commitment. And that's, I think, what the Rambam was trying to say. But if you compare that to the Rush, for example, so now go back to page, what was that, 5? Look at the Rush in Yesh Nochlin, Perek Ches Siminei. Everybody have it? Ikmar Kinyan at Emasai Choser, Rabbi Mar Kozman Shoshvin, Rabbi Mar Kozman Shasukin. What is it? Page 5, what number? 20 something? 28. Kozman Shasukin Bosanian. But Davka Bekinyan, who should also Chachamim Zman Lechazara? Only Kinyan they give you this extra window. But now we're going to have to look very carefully. Why? Because Kinyan itself is a different kind of transaction, and it's based more on the commitment itself. So in the Rush, it's not, or at least mostly not. Listen to the explanation. Kichein derech lekayim kol davar pitom lekayimin osa b'kinyan sudar, right? Shelo yachsru bahen. He says, typically, when people want to do something quickly, and they want to preclude the other person from backing out, they'll do kinyan sudar. Why? Because you don't need a ma'isa b'guf ha'davar, so you can just do it wherever you are, you know, and you can catch the person unaware. L'chein dafka nitnu lo shal hizboninus. Since it's in the nature of people who want, you know, immediate, you know, gratification in kinyanim, that they're going to use this kinyan, right? Therefore, dafka the chachamim wanted to protect, you know, the concept of kavana. Because again, you know, you're already kind of, you know, by virtue of the fact that you're doing a maisa b'guf ha'davar, that's already more thoughtful. I don't believe that's pshat in the Rambam. That's a pragmatic explanation. Now, in between those two explanations, the Rambam, what I'm saying is the Rambam, and the Rush, I think you have the middle view, which is kind of the Nebuke Yosef, which isn't coincidentally most people in a hurry use this Kenyan and therefore we want to put brakes on it, which is what the Rush is saying. It has nothing to do with Kenyan Suter per se. It just happens to be the Kenyan of choice for maybe for reasons. That might have its reasons, but, you know, but at the end of the day, it's the, you know, it's the quick fix, you know, knee jerk, reflexive Kinyan that we want to slow down. That's not Suda per se. However, the Nebuke Yosef does think it's characteristic of Suda in that it's not a Maisa B'guf HaDavar. Although he doesn't say it's because of Kinyan Nas, which I think is what Rama means. Why he throws in Afilu B'Eidim, Afilu Shalom B'Eidim, etc. So look at Nebuke Yosef, the next piece. What number is that? Are we already on page 6? Or it's the end of 5.
Well, line 2, 6.
Okay. Kinyan Echa, Kinyan Hacha Dafka Nechalku. The actual argument in the Gemara about Asukin and not is only in Kinyan. Kinyan the Lace Ba Mishicha, Velo Shtar, Be'edim, Velo Kana Be'Kesef, Ela Be'Kinyan Sudur Be'Alma, Ulefi She'en B'Davar Shum Tfisa Lekona Lamakna, Lekalecha Rome B'Shalom. So he's not saying, oh, because it's the Kinyan that is typically, you know, the fast crowd uses, you know, Kinyan Sudar. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, it's in the mechanics of Kinyan Sudar, right, that everybody's, you know, stays within themselves. There's no Maisa B'Guf HaDavar. Therefore, Das Kol Echad Sheyuchal Lehimalech, it's a more, you know, kind of intellectual Kinyan. The Tfisa Sudar Lo Yigmar, the Yikne Miad, Ad Sheyusyashe B'Daito. You're not exchanging the Sudar anyway. So it can be implicit, you know, that even though you've held the Sudar in your hand, you know, that you can still, you have a window of time, you know, to reflect, you know, and to recant. Pita Nadavar Libo. Masha'en Kain, if you're doing an act which symbolically represents the actual transfer, so that's the moment. Now, he doesn't say, oh, because the fact that it's not a Kinyan B'Guf HaDavar and that, you know, everybody is, you know, bimikomo, omdim, you know, where they are, is an indication that it's the commitment part, and therefore the commitment part itself is something that you have to, you know, build based on das. That, I think, is implicit in the Rambam, and I think is a much stronger explanation. So Rambam suggests that there are like three, and there are more. But if you look at the Sma, the Shach, it gets replayed, at least in terms of the type. What I'm saying is there are three types of explanations. One is completely artificial, like the Rush. The other is completely inherent to the character and nature of Kinyan Sudar as a Kinyan Das. I think maybe that's what the Rambam was getting at. And then there in between is Mukha Yosef for saying, you know, you don't have a Maisa Kinyan B'Guf HaDavar, and therefore implicitly, you know, you're not dependent, you know, upon the physical timetable either. And you know, that in itself, you know, allows it a reflection time or chazara time, you know, to be you know, structured in. Okay.
I think the Mukhi Yosef and the Rosh are saying the same thing.
Well, they're definitely not saying the same thing. You might say that conceptually they're not all that different. But the Rosh is saying, you know, this is the Kinyan that people use when they're in a hurry. And if we want to slow them down. The Mukhi Yosef is not saying that. Now, it could be the reason that, according to the Rosh, that the fast crowd uses Kinyan Sudar is because it's not a Kinyan B'Guf HaDavar. That may be true. But that's, either way, it's not what the Mukhi Yosef is saying. He's just saying, it's in the nature physically of what you do in Kinyan Sudar as opposed to other Kinyanim, right? That Ein Davar, Ein B'Davar Shum Tzvisa Lakono Lamakna, the Kolachad Ome B'Shalo, therefore why not add in his bonus part two, as opposed to Meshicha or Hagba or Mesira, where what, you're going to allow him to back out after physically it's no longer in his Rishos. But that's different than saying, you know, typically this is the fast crowd's Kinyan and we want to slow them down.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So now let's go back to the Gemara for a moment. Now, there's much more to talk about in Sudar, but that's good enough. We did this here, you know, pretty extensively to explain the connection to Kinyan Dvar and Bialma and so on. But getting back to the Gemara, the implication of the Gemara brought two answers in the Gemara to explain, you know, how this wall being built in Chater, you know, She'en Bo Chalukah, you know, is binding. One is the first answer of Gemara. What is it? Rava, Kinyan Sudar, Mushikana Biyado, and it's a case not of Dvarim, but of Chalukah Beruchos. And then the Gemara says also the other answer is Ravashi. What does Ravashi say again? Kagon Shahalav said Betok Shalom, Mehichzik. Okay. So there are two questions that bothered the Mefarshim. And I could say Rishonim because it's implicit, at least on the right, but also. The second question, which I'm going to explore them in order, but the second question is Ravashi. Ravashi says that we're talking about a case of Kinyan Chazaka. What did he add to the mix? What's the Chiddush of Ravashi in this sugya? We don't know that Kinyan Chazaka works. So some Rishonim say, the Gemara is trying to figure out where was the Kinyan here. Rava said the Kinyan was a Kinyan Suda. Rava said the Kinyan was a Kinyan Chazaka. He's not trying to be Marba. He's not adding anything to Rava. Right? What one could have said, I'm repeating something I said about 3 weeks ago, when we started with this little Gemara, we started with the Kinyan Dvarim part, was that maybe the Chiddush of Ravashi is that he doesn't like Rava. Meaning, if you interpret the Gemara like what I think is the Pshat of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Gershom, that is the Gemara's Kinyan Baruchos is not a final Kinyan. It's a arrangement about the disbursement of the distribution of the partnership, when it ultimately happens when you do the Kinyan. So Rava thinks that's not Kinyan Dvarim. That solves the problem. So maybe Ravashi says, no, that's not good. You have to have something like a Kinyan Chazaka and really each person take their part. That could answer that question. However, other Rishonim didn't interpret Baruchos that way. Most interpret like Rashi, the Kinyan Baruchos is a total Kinyan. So then it's hard to kushya l'duchta, unless you think Ravashi just happened to have been giving a different answer, not responding to Rava. What did Ravashi want to teach us? The way Bali Tosis put it, you just look at Tosis for a minute, then we'll come back to it. The Gemara said, Tema Lari, Ma Baravashi Lahosif. The Chiyitzrich Hashminan, the Chazaka Mo'elis Kimokinyan. Do we need Ravashi to teach us a Kinyan Chazaka works to be Kona Karka? That's a Mishnah. So, that's something we need to get back to, and we're going to discuss a couple of points on that. Before we get to that, there's another problem. And that problem is implicit in the Rishonim, but explicit in the Achronim. And it's a massive question, which I'm not going to get tied down with, since I want to spend a couple more minutes on it, and then we're going to stop. And I guess in 2 weeks when we finish, we'll get back to the Chazaka problem. So look here on page 7, is it? Baba Basra, Kuvvavim Beis, or you could turn up, open the Gemara, either way. Everybody have that? Okay. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara is a famous Gemara, later on in the Masechta. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Ha'achin Shechilku, right? Brothers who divide up their property. Meaning, they inherited a property from the father. They're breaking up the estate now. Kivin sh'ala goro le'achad mehem kanakula. The Gemara says, they can do it by lottery. And as long as one of them, as long as the lottery tells you, let's say, or there are two of them, let's say, So Reuven gets his piece, then automatically, that's it, that's done. Kanukula. So the Gemara says, my time, where does this come from? That you can divide a Yerusha in this way. Says the Gemara, Amra Belazar, Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael. It's patterned after the Chalupa of Eretz Yisrael. Ma Tchila Begorol. That was done with a lottery. Afkan Begoro. Says the Gemara, Imal Alon, it wasn't just a Goral, it was also a Kalfi that they took it out from, and there was Urim Betumim. Now, exactly how these things interact is very complicated, very unclear, But as we know, the Urim Betumim was involved in this process. It wasn't just the Goro. Okay, there was a we're in the tumult, and there was a Talfi from the Goro. So you should say the same thing should be with Yerushas Ha'ach. If it's really learned, if the Makar is Tchilas Eretz Yisrael, you should have to simulate that. Mala halam b'kalfi v'urim b'tumim, mafkan b'kalfi v'urim b'tumim. Okay, that's not going to work l'maisa so much. So the Gemara says, "Om Ravashi." Interesting that it's Ravashi. Bahu anod the katzaisi lahadadi gamri umakni lahadadi. The fact that they listen to each other, and that each one is respecting, you know, the other person's, you know, portion, gamri umakni lahadadi. So this is a very interesting line. It goes together with a whole bunch of others, one of which we actually saw when we were talking about Chalipa, Suda. And that is our bunch of Gemaras that seem to say that Hana, by you can be kind of things through Ahi Hana. Right? For example, again, Levi, who said that Jakona Bekelev Shamakna, so they said to him, like, you know, how does that work? What is that reverse agav? So the Gemara said, no, it's by Yana that you're going to makab that such, that your makabal is matana, right? So that, the fact that you deign to accept his present, that makes you so happy that gomer makni. That's the language of the Gemara. Very similar to the Gemara here. Really, 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 you should need, you shouldn't get away with a goral. You should need more than a goral. She had kalfi and lunar batumim, or its equivalent, but the ahiyana puts you over the top. Or the Gemara says at the end of Bava Basra, daf kuf, ayin daled, right? That, you know, nixi debar imish, no, sorry, forget about that. The Gemara speaks about the kinin of arev, or general, you know, more direct arev. So the Gemara says, how does an arev, you know, mishtabed? So the Gemara says, by Hiana, that the guy trusts him enough to extend a loan on his guarantee, on his say-so, that's what's Koveh. Again, the Gemara there is trying to explain why there's no Asmachta, or the Gemara there is trying to tell you that Arev, you know, is Chayiv because of Hiana. That's his quid pro quo. He receives Hana, and therefore, you know, he... you know, in turn, you know, is Makna. That's considered like a Kenya. Very difficult Gemaras. The Gemara in Kenusha, right? Rekod Lefanai, Amanasha Dabra Alayach B'Shilton, right? I give her Ana Adam Chashuv, right? Helech Mana, you know, take this money and I'll be Miskodeshas to you. If he's an Adam Chashev, there he's an Adam Chashev. But he had now that he deigns to receive her Kesef Kiddushin, makes her so, so happy that she's Miskadashis. Like she's receiving, you know, money. So there are a whole bunch of Gemaras. One more. The Gemara in Ksuvah Stav Kuf Beis also appears in Moed Katan and Kiddushin Afites, right? The Rav Gittel Amarav. Heinen Advarim, Haniknim, Ba'amira, Shiduchim, right? Kama tanosin lebitcha kach v'kach, kama tanosin lebincha kach v'kach. So those arrangements, according to the Gemara, are sealed by a verbal agreement. How could that be? Where's the Kenyan? Right? The answer is, Bahiyana. Bahiyana. So I just mentioned five Gemaras. Those are like the main five, but there are probably others. There are others. So, okay. But either way, the Pashtus, all those Gemaras could be understood as like a Kenyan Hana. Or the Hana is just a way of overcoming an Asmachta, but it's the Ischaibus itself, right? Or in this case, it's the Goral, whatever you need beyond the Goral, you know, by Hana kind of, you know, smooths over. Okay. What's the pashtus of this Gemara then? Especially if you don't take the Hana part, you know, seriously, is that you don't need a kinyan in order to break up a shutfas. It's enough, right, that there be a way, excuse me, an agreed upon or objective mechanism, right, which identifies the components. And once you have that, you know, if he draws this lot and there are two portions, however that works, then Mimela, right, each one attains ownership of his part. The problem is that stira to our Gemara? Our Gemara is saying that of Gimel ben Aleph here, you have these two individuals, these three partners. It was a partnership, you know, which is not Nitan Mechaluka either. So they both have to agree to disband the, you know, the partnership. And so it's just big deal if they're going to, they agree to disband. They can always retract. Says the Gemara, either was a Kenyan Sudar, or according to Ravashi, a Kenyan Chazak. But the question is, so what? Why do we even need that? The Gemara says above Basra Kavav Mebeis, that as long as you're Mevarer, who gets which portion, through a Goral, you don't need a Kenyan at all. Assuming that's a pshat in the Gemara. So it seems like this was the question, without it being so explicit, of the Ravid. So 1 second, this is on the previous Marmakomos.
Argument is when it's not Nitan Lechaluka. Maybe it only applies when it's
Nitan Lechaluka. Oh, very good. So you're Mechabin to Rabbi Chanan Vassim. Pretty good. If you see in the sheets, we have a Kovet Shirim, the second one. So let me give you the two answers, and I'll leave you with this, because I then we'll have to go. 1 second. Where is the Rambam and Ravid? Back on the Rambam and Ravid. It's in Hilchos Shchenim. Anybody finding that? Perek Beis, Halacha. 1 second. Where do we find Hilchos Shchenim? Beis Yud? And Yud Aleph. I know I put them here on the sheet somewhere. Oh, I got it. It's on page 8. Everybody have it? Oh no. Maybe not. 1 second.
We just quoted that. It's
yeah,
there.
No. That's something else. No.
It's not mine, but we don't have it actually in the Makura sheet.
Oh, really? Okay, my mistake.
And there's kind of Kovet Shirim in the beginning.
And I wrote that down because I wanted to put it there and I just got distracted. Okay. So the Rambam, just to, I'll leave you with this, just give me one more minute. I'll just read it to you. Kirk, 1 second. Hopefully, here it is. So the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shchenim quotes both halachos side by side. Perek Beis halacha yud of Hilchos Shchenim halacha yud. He says, "Makom she'ein bo din chaluka." Exactly our case. You have a place which is not Nitan Lechiluk, but they wanted to break up the partnership. We have this Rambam, we discuss this Rambam. This is the Rambam about, you know, Ruchos. If there was no Ruchos, then there's Kinan Var B'Yama. She's a Kinan Var, Ruchon Rosh B'Yar. Avon Konam Yadam, she's a Ratza B'Ruach Plonis, she's a Ratza B'Ruach Plonis, but if they did, if they decided how to split up the partnership, then they can't be choser. Or if it wasn't through kinyan, but it was through each one making an independent chazaka, In other words, the Rambam is paskening Rava and Ravashi in our Gemara, correct? Next halacha, halacha Yud Aleph. Ha'achin shechilku b'asu b'neim goral. Two brothers dividing an estate by means of a lottery. Kim inshallah goral le'achad mehem kanu kulan. Ba'na shenasis lahem sheshamu zem izeh. The davar sheskim alav gamer kalachad u'makne lechaveiro. So does the Rambam really mean, does it mean it's not a nasmachta or something like that? Or does he mean that's really the Davar HaKoneh? What does Rambam mean here? It's hard to tell. The Ravid says, Amar Avram, lo neschavru devarav. Didn't say much. But the Achronim understood, certainly Reb Chaim understood, that what bothered the Ravid was a sphira. The Ravid is saying, you can't paskin these two Gemaras back to back. You can't paskin these two Gemaras at all. Because one Gemara seems to say that Shutfus doesn't require, breaking the Shutfus doesn't require Kinyanim, Halakha Yud Aleph, and the other one says it does. Therefore you have to choose. It's a Machlokas Astiros. It's a Stiros Asugyas. It's machlokas asugyas, and you have to pick. That's how Reb Chaim understood it. So what does the Rambam say? So basically, I could propose three or four answers. Number one, if the idea is that this is a kinyan of hanah, not just hanah to solve some other problem, the absence of Kalfi and Nurim Vitumim, the name of the Rambam means it's a real kinyan. But as I say, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman asks this question. He partially notes that Reb Chaim deals with this in Hukos Shchenim. It's a very difficult Reb Chaim, so I didn't put it on here. But the part of it is alluded to by only part, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. But you can see the issue, the first one here. What is this, page 7? Kovetz Yurim? Kono miyodem mevuar de chalukas shutfas tricha kinyan. Just give me one more minute. De kaman kuvav tanya de sanja begoro of Ainsar kinyan. Kamosha pirish rajbam shav. So this part is quoting from Reb Chaim, as he himself says. Ef shalom ad hasam koyali with the man dama yej breira. And so if you look at Hilchos Shchenim there, the Reb Chaim has a very complicated piece. Okay. What is Reb Chaim Wasserman saying? He's asking the question. There seems to be a steer between these sugyas. He's saying that's why the Ravid was bothered that the Rambam paskins both of these sugyas and actually one after the other. As for the Rambam, maybe what you could say is that according to the Rambam, right, depends on yesh or ein breira. What does that mean? Breira, as we know, is a special, very difficult concept, but the idea kind of, you know, that the way things unfold in the end are the way that they were intended to unfold, or that the process has a certain, you know, validating, we'll call it, effect. And therefore, the idea is that, you know, when two brothers split up an estate, if you hold the yesh breira, then each one was destined to achieve, you know, or to attain, you know, the portion that they got. It's not like, oh, you know, they got the estate between them. Or, and, you know, maybe there is some real, you know, more appropriate ideal portion for one or the other. But at the end of the day, you know, if they split it up, even through a boral, you know, we don't know that they're each getting what they're supposed to get. So that's a debate, whether Achim Shechilku are Yarshim Heim or Lekuch Hosein. So what Reb Chaim initially in that piece suggests is that, you know, if you hold Yesh Breira, you know, then you don't need a Kenya. On the other hand, you know, you can say through Goro. If you don't go through Goro, then you need a Kenya. The problem is that the Rambam doesn't paskin. That's what he points out. The Rambam paskins like the Brisa, the Sagi Begoro, Lapsha Pasak in Breira. So the truth is Reb Chaim goes on to have a much more complicated suggestion. But I'm going to leave you with this idea. That's what Leon suggested. The next piece in Reb Chaim of Wasserman, he says, maybe you should be mechalek between Chatzah She'eba Din Chaluka and a Chaluka and a Shutfas She'yesh Bo Chaluka. And he says it in a way that we are familiar with. This is what he says. Meaning, from the very beginning, it was destined, you know, eventually to be split. Or I'm going to put it that way. I think you could also say that even as Shufim, right, each person kind of has a future stake or even a present stake in half, in a specific half. And therefore, when ultimately they actually divide the property, ein zakinyan chadash. So it isn't, you know, yesh me'ayin. You know, we're just being mevarer, you know, the half that each one has. So that's corporate ownership. Right? It doesn't have eight amos, so it's not Omeid l'chaluka. So kishachok and achar kach lo mikri chaluka. It's not like, oh, they're just undoing what the artificial bond or federation, you know, that exists. It's the opposite. It's a corporate entity, right? And they're destroying that by splitting it. Elhi mechira chadasha. Shekalachad mocher chelka l'chaveiro. V'lo mahani goral. I am in a dorm, Resh Parakashutfin, a Baranshav. That's what they discuss. If Shutfin are no there, Zal Zed, they're, you know, Mudr Hana, what are they allowed to do in terms of the property? That's one of the questions of, you know, corporate ownership, individual ownership, you know, two own, between the two when they own the whole, each one owns half, you know, each one owns half of every particle, all the different, we discuss it a little bit, models of Shutfin. So basically, what Reb Chaim Wasserman is suggesting is that a chalukah, a shifas sheyesh b'chalukah requires a kinyan, because you're going from corporate ownership to individual ownership. And to begin with, it was never, you know, umeid l'chalukah, and therefore the trauma of the chalukah is something new, and it's a kinyan. Whereas, in the case of Achim Shechilku, right, that's just Biror Chalka. Now, the truth is, I think there might be a different distinction, but you'd have to explain it in the opposite way. And that is the difference maybe between Tfusas Abayas and Shutfas.